I'm Beth from Athens. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
You're listening to the three extra web streams available at wavefarm.org/listen or WGXC.org, any WGXC.org page. Click on the Listen button to hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, or the test site of Acoustic Commons. Live weather you can hear on your radio anytime you want at WGXC.org or wavefarm.org/listen. Hear the hydrophones in the Wave Farm Pond in Zach Poff's Pond Station, the microphone outside in the woods at Wave Farm in the test site of Acoustic Commons, and hear a live stream of an analog drone synthesizer playing the weather, the changes in precipitation, the changes in sunlight, the changes in wind, and the changes in temperature. At wavefarm.org/listen, you can hear Quintron's Weather Warlock, Zach Poff's Pond Station, and the test site of Acoustic Commons. On any WGXC.org page, click on the Listen button to tune in your weather.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine Bauer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM. WGXC. Grabbable, handleable, listener-fueled radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Accra. That's 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Christopher LaBanca. Chris is the executive director of Solid Lines Productions, a nonprofit theater company based in St. Louis that fosters community action through theater about socially relevant issues. He moved to Missouri after spending 6 years living in Buffalo, New York, and 21 years on Long Island, New York before that. He is a stay-at-home dad with his 3-year-old son and has been married to his wonderful, beautiful wife for 5 years. Chris enjoys playing board games and has begun attempts at designing several of his own. He has called Mike a dear friend since college and is very excited to be on the show. Banca, I also consider you a dear friend since college.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Although I'll also be honest, your radio voice is just a little bit too smooth to hear you call my wife beautiful, so just don't do that again. Okay? You're too smooth. I don't know that I feel a little uncomfortable.
The gorgeous Mrs. LaBanca. So Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's I'm excited to be here.
Welcome, sir. It's been, as we talked about off show, it's been a long time since we've spoke to you, but it's really good to see you.
Yeah, you too, sir. So Andy's talking about a friend of mine, Ken, and I. We visited what must have been, actually, it may even be like 11 years ago now, and we did some workshops at the high school there for theater. Ken coming from a design standpoint, me coming from an acting standpoint.
That's right.
But it was a lot of fun because we got to learn a little bit more about the town. Andy and Mike were good enough to take us around, and if I'm not mistaken, there was a pub that we stopped at, and I think I tried a blueberry beer that I really enjoyed. But I very distinctly remember you guys introducing us to that, and that, and we had a really good time when we visited.
Did we not have breakfast as well?
I think you're right. You might be right. I totally trust you on that because there were a couple of places you guys were really, really excited to show us.
Hey, there was a great vegan place that we went to in St. Louis.
It's called Lulu's Local Eatery. They were struggling during the pandemic, and somebody, they closed, but luckily somebody bought them and has every intention of keeping the spirit of Lulu's going with the same menu. So I'm really, really excited about that because we have really missed Lulu's a lot. Really delicious food.
Yeah.
Can I ask, Chris?
Yeah.
Are you vegan?
No, I'm not, actually. I'm far too lazy to be vegan. I could get by, I think, okay without meat, but I would miss fish too much. And I'll be honest, cheese. I really enjoy my dairy.
Yeah.
But what Lulu's does really, really nicely. Have you guys had like the Impossible Whopper or anything?
Oh, yeah.
I've had Impossible Burgers, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like impossible that it tastes as close to beef as it does. And that was something that I think Lulu's and I think good vegan food does really, really well. Is it's like, nope, I don't even miss the meat. They had a like a buffalo cauliflower wrap, and it tasted just like I was eating buffalo chicken. And I was like, nope, this is great. I'm sold.
Yep. I've actually had a buffalo cauliflower wrap as well. The local store here has a little cafe. And
How was it?
I don't like blue cheese, and I forgot to tell them to take the blue cheese off.
That would spoil it, I would think.
And
yes.
It kind of tainted the taste for me, but other than that, you know, I've had buffalo cauliflower and it's really, really nice, you know.
I think the vegan recipes have come a really long way, and one of my favorite cookbooks right now is called Thug Kitchen, and it's basically, you know, give a bleep about what you put in your body, what you eat, and it's all these vegan recipes, and it's great. They have some really, really excellent stuff in there, and I'm all too happy to cook it. So
yeah, my girlfriend Julia's daughter, Caitlin, she is vegan, and it's kind of taught me a few things, as you said, you know, about there are a lot of meals that you can eat that you don't really have to think too hard about. But I think one of the things is you come home at night from work, you're tired, and you're like, right, would you prepare? You
right.
know, rather than just throwing a burger on the grill, you know, would you prepare, you know?
I'm absolutely with you, Andy, because 100%, because it's way easier for me to make. We don't really eat beef around the house since when my wife was pregnant 3 years ago. She couldn't stand the sight, the smell, the taste of beef. And so we had sort of gotten it out of our diets for the most part. And so we sort of never reintroduced it. We replaced a lot of things with like turkey. So we do like turkey burgers and really enjoy those. It's way faster and easier for me to make a turkey burger than it is for me to make like the lentil white bean burgers, that like the vegan burgers that are tasty. But you know, you got to put them together. You got to let them set and then make them so that they don't just crumble. And again, I'm with you 100%. You get home and you're just like, okay, how much time do I feel like investing in this meal? This is the thing that's going on the grill.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we did on Monday. We actually had a meatless Monday with Beyond Burgers that I cooked up. And it was really good. I just made some patties. You can get kind of like a package of the ground Beyond beef and made patties, salt and pepper, grilled up some onions and some cheese. And you eat the thing, and with the seasoning and stuff, I kind of forget that I'm eating anything but a hamburger. Pretty good. You know,
Really good. So Andy, has your girlfriend's daughter, has she introduced to you in recipes that you're like, this is a knockout recipe. I love it. Because I'm always on the lookout for more recipes. I do most of the cooking in my house, and I'm always looking for good recipes.
She does make good, mac and cheese, you know, vegan mac and cheese.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So, what she does is she soaks cashews overnight, mm-hmm. and then she liquidizes them, and then she uses that as, you know, she adds ingredients, mm-hmm. herbs and stuff, and that creates the creaminess of the cheese, and yeah. then she'll use vegan pasta, and hey presto, you've got some vegan pasta.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
mac awesome. And cheese. It's really, really nice. There's like some cheeses, some, you know, vegan pizzas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But as you said earlier, there's a lot of things, and Mike mentioned as well, there's a lot of things going on in terms of, you know, catering for the lazy people or the tired people like us that can yep. throw on a Beyond Burger instead of a meat burger, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
So there are companies catering to that, you know, rather than having to
make it,
you know, steep cashews overnight and all that, you know.
Just make it more accessible. I think a lot of us are, at least I know I was, sort of intimidated by all the prep that had to go into it and worried that it was going to come out bland. But ever since starting to cook from this cookbook, my spice cabinet has gotten a lot bigger. So I've got a lot more of those staples, and I feel like I'm not quite as afraid of trying a new recipe because there are so many good options for vegan food. And like you say, Andy, like as they make some of these more accessible so that I don't have to, you know, soak the cashews overnight and everything. I'm more inclined these days to sometimes just go, that's what I want. We've been trying to cook more since the pandemic started. But there are also nights where it's like, no, we're going to order takeout from a local place, see if we can't support it. And, you know, not that our business alone could keep anybody going, but really trying to focus on a lot of local places.
50 people say that, then, you know,
exactly our thought. So we want to make sure that, you know, when we eventually come out the other side of this, that the places we really like, places like Lulu's, there's a great Ethiopian restaurant near us that we really want to make sure sticks around. Right. So exactly like you say, if 50 other people are thinking the same thing, it's like, hopefully we keep them going.
Yeah.
You know, Chris, and I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mike, on you go.
Well, I was just going to say, Chris, you'd like to be a vegetarian, maybe a vegan, but fish is getting in the way. And, you know, Impossible, they've got a beef product. I think they've just recently released a sausage product, mm-hmm. but still no fish. I haven't heard anything about like a vegetable fish product. And so for the time being, I guess you'll have to settle for the musical Big Fish, as your first song is Fight the Dragons.
Nice,
from the musical.
Nice transition. Good segue.
Big Fish. So tell us, should we get into the first song, Andy?
Of course.
So what do you think? So why that song, Chris?
So that one's funny. That one is sort of very near and dear to my heart. I've been a big Tim Burton fan for a while, but when Big Fish came out and I must have been in junior high school maybe. And went to go see it, and I was really disappointed because it wasn't like any of his other movies that I had seen, I thought. So I was fine, but I didn't love it. And then, you know, I had my son 3 years ago, or to be more accurate, my wife did. So a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine, said, she texted me, and she said, hey, do you want to cry today? You should listen to this song, Fight the Dragons, from the musical Big Fish. I was like, haha. So I listened to the song, and it's about it's from the musical Big Fish, which is, you know, based on the movie. And it's, for anybody who hasn't seen the movie, there's this story about a son who's sort of coming to terms with who his dad really was, because his dad would always tell these tall tales. And so what kind of truth was behind that? And so the man is a traveling salesman. And during the song, he sings about how he goes out and he has all these adventures fighting the dragons and joining the circus and meeting a mermaid. And while he loves being on the road, he wants to bring all of these stories back to his son. And so that really resonated with me. And then as the song goes on, he starts singing about how, you know, he hopes that one day, you know, when we're out there on the road, you'll say to me, let's fight the dragons and let's storm the castles together. And he talks about passing that on to his son when he's not able to fight that anymore. And so naturally, the first time I listen to it, I'm in tears by the end of it. And so I was like, oh, well, you're right. I'm crying. Thanks for that. So so as a stay-at-home dad, I have a really, really close connection to my son. It's really important to me that I be a good parent and to him. And so I started listening to the song. I learned the lyrics because I liked it so much. And then I started singing it to him every day. And it became a thing where if I was on the road for any reason, not that I'm a traveling salesman, but if I was traveling for a weekend or something, I would call in and that would be the song that I sang to him at night. And when he was from a young age, he could tell it was me on the phone because of the song I was singing. And I like the song so much that I actually got, this was a Father's Day gift from my wife. I got a tattoo with some of the lyrics and a dragon on a castle, and me and my son holding hands, like getting ready to storm the castle, and that's on the inside of my forearm. So that song has a lot of significance to me. And I went back after hearing the song. I went back and I watched the movie Big Fish, and you know, sure enough, it obviously impacted me in a much, much different way now that I have a child.
I've never been a man who lived an office life. I've never been a man behind a desk. I've always been a man who said that staying still is playing dead, the kind who's looking forward to the challenges ahead. People say that's irresponsible. People tell me stay at home. But I'm not made for things like mowing lawns or apron strings. I'm my best when not at rest. So I fight the dragons and I storm the castles and I win a battle or two. Then comes the day it's time I'm packing up and I'm bringing all my stories home to you. See is miles ahead with miles to go. All I can feel is wind and sun and sky. Stop for a coffee, make a friend, and pray the day will never end, 'cause there's one more adventure waiting round another bend. Where I fight the dragons and I storm the castles and I win a battle or two. But then a feeling comes like 50,000 drums all banging, bring my stories home to you. And I wonder as I wander on the road from door to door, exactly what you think of where I've been. Do you know I joined the circus, met a mermaid, fought a war? Do you know I think of you through thick and thin? Because even though I'm making deals and bringing people joy, I'm usually only thinking of my boy. Out there on the road, I pray you'll come to me one day and say, let's fight the dragons and then storm the castles. Do we win what needs to be won? So when I'm old and tired, you'll do the job required. You'll be there telling stories to your son. Then we fight the dragons and they storm the castles. And I do the best that I can. But everybody knows that's how the story goes, to turn each boy into a bigger man. So I'll fight the dragon.
That was Fight the Dragons from the musical Big Fish. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Christopher LaBanca, and we're discussing the songs and items that he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit WGXC.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Excellent choice there, Chris.
Thank you very much. I'm now, fond of it.
Before we go any further on to the next, the first item, Chris, could you briefly tell us about your job and your theater? I'm interested in that.
Sure, sure. So I run a small theater company that I started here in St. Louis when I moved here about 7-8 years ago now, something like that, back in 2012. So about 8 years. And I've wanted to use theater since college. So I originally got into theater because, frankly, it made me friends and it was something to do. Right. But in college, I really learned about how theater can be used to as a tool to better the world around us. And the arts can be used for that. And so that's what I wanted to do with my theater company. So basically what we do is we'll put on a play. Oftentimes it's the staged reading where the actors are performing, but they're doing it with a script in front of them. So it's sort of like the difference between reading a book and seeing a movie. In the movie, everything's laid out for you. You don't need to think about it. When you're reading a book, you envision it. So with the staged reading, the actors will perform, and the stage directions, what happens, the action of the play is read out loud, and then the audience sort of puts it together in their own heads. And then we connect with community partners and the important work that they do, and we ask for donations for them or volunteer efforts. So the best example is we back in February, just before everything shut down, because we've been dark for a year, we did a play called Fixed, and it was about a woman who was dealing with a schizoaffective disorder. So we brought in some professionals from NAMI St. Louis. NAMI is National Alliance for Mental Illness. They are national organization, but have chapters in different cities. So we brought in some folks from the St. Louis chapter, and they talked a little bit about stigmas around mental health, and then they distributed some of their information for anybody in the audience who wanted help for themselves or wanted help for friends or family members. And then we, as a theater company, my company, Solid Lines Productions, we made a walking team for the NAMI walk, and we raised over $1,000 for the workshops that they do. So for us, it's all about, it's important to learn about some of the issues we struggle with as a society, like mental illness, like domestic and sexual violence, but also taking action. It's not enough to know about it. You got to do something about it. So yeah, that's what I do. I am proud of the work that we do. And I'm very, very lucky. I work with some really brilliant people. So any opportunity I get to brag on them, I will.
Yeah. Well, that's very noble and it's courageous as well, because it's, you know, takes a bit of courage to go down that road in terms of, you know, making a living for yourself and you know, following your passion as well. So
thank you very much.
Well done. I really appreciate hearing about that. It was really, really inspiring, actually. So
thank you. It also means I get to work with some pretty amazing people. My colleagues are incredible. So it's been a wild ride these past. We're going into our seventh season now. So it's been a wild ride.
Well, good luck. I hope everything goes well.
Thank you.
Continues to go well.
Thank you.
Now, your first item is
the Silmarillion.
Silmarillions. Okay, so what is Silmarillion?
So it's a lot of so J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, he had created this entire world around you know, to support The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. So it's not just existing in a vacuum. He created languages and has all sorts of family trees and timelines. And so all of those notes and side stories were collected by his son into the Silmarillion. And so my understanding has always been, because I've never read it, it is always for a long time, my understanding of it has been a rather dry history that really fills out the background of Lord of the Rings, of which I'm very, very fond. And I've been meaning to read it for years. I have started it, I think, twice now, and then ended up doing other things. So I thought, you know what, if I have a weekend to myself in the Catskills, in a cabin, that's probably the perfect time to go, okay, I've been meaning to tackle this beast for a while now. It's time. This is the right time to do it.
I'm seeing a theme here, Chris, you know, fighting the dragons. And I'm sure there's some dragons in Silmarillion. And maybe the next song we can talk about, Two Steps from Hell, Flight of the Silver Bird. And so there's, and also even in your work, you're taking on these dragons in society as this champion of the oppressed and the downtrodden and those that can't defend themselves. And maybe sometimes that will take you two steps from hell.
Chris,
mm-hmm.
These guys are an American production company. The guys that wrote this song, Flight of the Silver Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Why that song? Because I know it's a two-disc album that they wrote.
Yeah.
And that song is embedded like halfway down the second disc. It must have hit a chord and struck a chord with you.
It did, but it's the meaning is a lot is very, very shallow compared to honestly, compared to Fight the Dragons. This is just a song that I really, really enjoy. I have found that it depends on where my head's at. There are certain songs that I listen to for work, for inspiration. There are certain songs I listen to. Lately with the lockdown, I found that since my son isn't in daycare, he used to be in daycare 2 days a week, and that's what I'd spend in the office. But now that he's not doing that, now that he's home 5 days a week for the past month and a half, I will go into my office on a Friday night when nobody else is there. And I get in there around 8 after he goes to bed, and I usually stay until dawn. And it's the only way that I can get as much work done as possible in an uninterrupted way. And sometimes I need music that's going to inspire me or amp me up. And as Mike can attest to, I used to listen to a lot of power metal.
Yes.
bands like Dragon Force and Nightwish, which were too busy for him, which I really enjoyed. But it's funny because I've tried going back to it. And now it's, I don't know if it's because I'm older, but it's a little too busy for me too. And I found that Flight of the Silver Bird, the music they do, and that's the song Two Steps from Hell, it's really, it ends up hitting that sweet spot where it's fast paced enough to like keep me going, but it's not so heavy that I find it distracting while I'm working. So for me, that's actually like very much, that's very much a work song, if that makes any sense.
Do you know how the name Two Steps from Hell came about?
I don't actually. Did you find that?
Yeah. The
I would like to know.
Guys who wrote the song, is Norwegian, and there's a nightclub called Two Steps from Heaven. And the genre of the music and the scene is very similar to what they're into, and so they called it Two Steps from Hell as opposed to Two Steps from Heaven. So I found that interesting that they did that.
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I did not know any of that.
So, yeah, so the next time you're in Norway, look up that nightclub. And I'm sure that if you go in there, they'll play a lot of the music that you like. That was Two Steps from Hell by Flight of the Silver Bird. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE Accra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Christopher LaBanca, and we are discussing the songs and items that he would take with him on his Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXE is community radio that relies on support from listeners like you. Please visit wgxe.org to make a donation or become a sustaining member today. Now, Chris, your next item, kendo sticks.
Yes.
Tell us about your kendo sticks.
So this is something I've been meaning to get back to for a really long time, and I have not made the time for, and I've not been good about going to the gym, so this will two birds with one stone. But when I was in high school, a friend of mine that I used to work at the comic book store with, he took lessons in arnis, which is a Filipino stick fighting style, from a local master, and got me into it. And I found I really, really enjoyed it. I had always admired martial arts, but never really took it. And so when he introduced me to this, it wasn't just stick fighting. It was also the master there was teaching us how to use, was teaching us self-defense moves, was teaching us how to use knives, swords, so bladed weapons, staves, nunchucks. And it was interesting because I always had this idea of what weapons I thought I would enjoy using. And as it turns out, the weapons I thought I would enjoy were not the weapons that I ended up enjoying most. So I found that I really, really enjoyed using these kendo sticks, which are, just a couple of feet long. So it's not like as long as a bow staff or anything. And so I'd gotten these bamboo sticks to practice with. And my friend James, who introduced me to it, he bought me this really, really nice set of cherry wood kendo sticks. And so I still have them. And I just, every time I think it'd be good to get back to using them and going through the forms as a form of exercise and centering myself, and I just haven't like prioritized doing that. So again, I thought a weekend up in the Catskills, this is the perfect opportunity to go out there and maybe start my morning off with some Tai Chi and then swing my kendo sticks for a little while.
Did you know that Feng Shui practitioners suggest keeping bamboo plants in front of the house to ensure long lives of the dwellers? Did you know that?
Really?
I did not. We might have to plant some because I'm not much of a green thumb at all, so I did not know that.
Bamboo everywhere.
It also absorbs carbon dioxide and releases 30 times more oxygen than its own mass.
So that I actually did know because we've got some really amazing botanical gardens here in St. Louis, Missouri. Right. And so I actually did know that because of little informational placards.
All right. So you might be able to answer this quiz question. Right, you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
Oh, man.
So bamboo is the fastest growing plant on the planet. Right?
Yeah.
How many inches can it grow in 24 hours?
Ooh, oh man, I wasn't told there'd be a quiz, but I feel like I should know this. In 20, how many inches can it grow in 24 hours?
Yes. A particular species of bamboo.
I'm gonna take a. I know that I've heard this at some point. Maybe it was at the gardens. I don't know. It was something obscene. It was something like feet and feet. But I'm gonna play it safe. I'm gonna say 20 inches.
20 inches?
Ooh, you call that safe? I was going to go with 12 inches.
No, because I just remember being like, there's no way a plant. I remember thinking that when I heard it.
You're 12 inches in 24 hours, but like you said, it's something obscene. I'm saying 12.
Okay. The actual growth spurt that can happen in 24 hours is 36 inches.
See? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, oh, we both so understand.
I was going to say four. I was going to.
Both of your guesses, then you'll be 4 inches off.
I wanted to say 4 feet, but I was like, there's just no, that has to be too much. So
1.5 inches an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's a heck of a plant.
So you could actually watch it grow.
And maybe you could do that sometime if you go to the botanical gardens in Missouri. It's beautiful. I've been there.
Yep, where my wife and I got married. It's great.
I witnessed the matrimony of the LaBancas there. It was a wonderful, beautiful ceremony and a beautiful place. Now, your next item that you would like to take on your Catskill Cabin getaway, Chris, is a notebook and pen. Mm. What would you be doing with this notebook and pen?
So this is what I have learned about myself over the years. I have found that things slip through my mind. If I think it's important, I can retain totally useless factoids and information. But I can't retain anything that's important, whether it be an idea for a play I'm working on or an educational program or whatever, or a chore that I have to take care of. So I have taken to writing everything down, especially because what I've also learned is that I could be working on something. I might be working on a grant proposal. And I think, ooh, this is a thing that I should take care of. And what I'll do is I'll switch gears and I'll start doing this other thing. And so I've really tried to break the habit of jumping from project to project or from thought to thought. And the only way I can do that is by parking lotting it. So
yeah.
I have my, you know, I've always got a pen and paper handy. Not physical is not the word I'm looking for, but I am a very physical person. I'm a very tactile person is the word I'm looking for. A very tactile person.
Tactile,
electronics
made of wood.
Yeah, no, not quite that. I need something.
He's gonna have a hard time against the dragon.
Hopefully, I don't ever reach that point of needing a wooden leg. Hopefully, it's made of a nice wood, I suppose. I write things down so that I don't lose them, but also I can put them out of my brain.
Have a bamboo leg.
Except if is it going to grow under me? Because if it's going to grow,
you wake up in the morning, you're 2 feet tall,
guide, right?
2 feet more larger than you were the day before.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm growing, but only on one side. I don't know that it'll work.
Need one of those shoes with a giant sole.
Yeah, I'll just get different shoes for my left foot if I have to replace my right leg. That's all, and I'll eventually be on stilts. So I find that I write these things down, that gets them out of my brain, so I don't have to think about them anymore. But also I often have ideas for maybe plays I want to write or a board game idea that I want to try. And so I find that if the idea hits me, if I have the luxury of sitting down with my notebook and writing it all out, I write until I can't write anymore. And then I'm done. And if I come back to it, great. And if I don't come back to it, that's fine too. But at least I have a record of it. I don't have to worry about whether or not I remembered it. And if I'm really trying to do something else, you know, if I'm reading at the time, or if I'm just trying to relax, or especially if I'm trying to go to sleep, if I write it down, I don't have to worry about whether or not I'll remember it. I don't have to think about it anymore. So now I can just get on with what I was doing. So it's a production tool, but it's also a relaxation tool for me.
Chris, think of the last factoid that you wrote.
So the last thing I wrote was an idea I had for a book, maybe wherein everybody has, as a race, humans have decided for one reason or another, that the planet is worth saving. But the only way to do that is to make sure that humans no longer exist. And rather than trying to wipe humanity out, they've basically just decided, okay, there won't be any more of us. We'll age out and we'll gracefully make our exit. And for whatever reason, that's the agreement that has been decided upon. Except there's somebody who has learned of a couple that has had a child, and that's against the law. And he's decided that it's humanity is not making a graceful exit. It's not okay to even though they should never have had this child, it's not okay to dispose of the child just because it wasn't in plans for humanity. The idea hasn't gone any further than that. I can just tell you that's the last thing that I wrote down physically that I was like, I don't think this is anything. It could be something. I'm going to write it down. So that way, if it's garbage, it's garbage and it never leaves my notebook. But if it's something that I want to use later, I don't have to try and remember what that idea was.
Nice. Right. Good thinking. You know, Chris, you mentioned we were talking about walking on stilts and having bamboo growing in your legs.
Oh, I know where this is going.
It reminded me, your next song, Walking in the Air, George Winston. Tell us about that song.
So actually that song had not popped into my brain for years and years and years. But growing up, when I was little, there were certain movies that we always watched around Christmas time. And one of those movies was called The Snowman. And I just, it was just one that I really, really enjoyed. And this was a song that played while a snowman who had come to life took this little boy to the North Pole, where he met all these other snowmen and got to meet Santa and all this stuff. And so, but it's, there's no dialogue in the movie. So it was always interesting to me growing up, because that was an outlier from the other Christmas movies that I saw. And so I had not thought about the song in years and years and years. And then I was listening to a Pandora station that was, I don't even remember which station it was. I think it was a Lorena McKennett station that I listened to when I was trying to relax or do Tai Chi or just focus in on some work. And this version of that song came on, and I remembered how much I enjoy the song. So so it's just one that I enjoy. It makes for a nice background music, but it also gives me visuals. So if I just feel like listening to the song and enjoying, again, going back to some of that nostalgia, that's the thing that I can do. So that's kind of fun.
Thank you.
that was Walking in the Air by George Winston. Lovely song. Reminds me of Christmas. Thanks, Chris.
No, thank you.
Now, your next item, Chris, is mm-hmm. Eldritch Horror Board Game.
Yep.
Can you describe this board game for us?
Sure, it's just torture.
The end.
That's it. It's a game from Fantasy Flight Games, one of my favorite board game companies, and this is a game that really digs into the H.P. Lovecraft lore, Cthulhu, that sort of thing, and it's all about trying to save the world before an ancient one rises up and destroys it. And this is a game that you can play with up to 8 players, but you can also play it solo, which I've done. And I really, really enjoy the lore behind it. I think some of the mechanics are really good. Some of them are not so great. But it's a game that I enjoy playing by myself. I really enjoy board games. And unfortunately, I only have so much space in my life to play board games right now. So I don't get to certain games, as frequently as I'd like to. And Eldritch Horror is one of those games. So there are a bunch of expansions that I own that have never seen the light of day. And so just being able to take it up to the cabin and basically solo play, set it up. It's a turn-based thing, so I can come back to it whenever I want, if I want to make a meal or if I want to go do whatever. So it's one of the things I really like about the game, and it doesn't hit the table often enough. So when I thought about going up to the cabin, what do I really want to do that engages my brain but doesn't feel like work? This is what came to mind.
Now, how do you play the game on your own?
So the funny thing about board games that I didn't learn until I moved to Buffalo, because that's really when I got into board games, actually around the same time that Mike did. Mike and I played a lot of board games early on in my gaming hobby. And so there are a number of games that are cooperative. So instead of like Monopoly, where we play against each other, you look at a game like Eldritch Horror, a game like Pandemic. Pandemic's a great game, or Spirit Island, which was made here in St. Louis and is my favorite board game.
Wow.
They're co-op games. So what happens is you actually play against the board itself. So the board will have like decks of cards, or it'll have some sort of adversary. And it's almost like an artificial intelligence. It's almost an AI. That's based on different situations. The game will react to you in different ways, and so you're trying to beat the board. And so since the board is your adversary, you can actually play a lot of these co-op games by yourself. Usually you end up controlling like 2 characters instead of 1, but that's how you can play by yourself. And I've actually found that some games I'm not interested in doing that, and then there are other games like Eldritch Horror where I'm perfectly happy to play the game by myself.
One of the things I've taken up in recent years, Chris, is building model cars.
Oh, nice.
Actually built a model of the Titanic, and I've got another boat there I can do. Mike bought me one of a stealth fighter. So I've got more than enough to keep me busy. I like to do them in the winter because I don't like staying in it at night time when it's a really sunny evening and I could be out cycling or something. So that's what I've kind of taken up. And once you get into it, I think it's really 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 enjoyable watching something come together, so I can understand from a gaming point of view how stimulating and how engrossing it must be to sit and play as a a way of relaxing. So,
and before we move on from
I'm with you.
Before we move on from Eldritch Horror, you reminded me, Chris. I'm reading a little bit about Cthulhu and the mythos, and I saw this little quiz, and I'm like, I try to answer these quizzes and quiz questions about Cthulhu, and there's this one like, where is Cthulhu from? And it's the corpse city of Relay, or I don't know if you're familiar. It's Riley.
It's Ryloth, R-Y-L-O-T-H, Ryloth.
Ryloth. So Ryloth is a fictional lost city that was first documented in H.P. Lovecraft's The Call of Cthulhu. And it reminded me, so it's like at the bottom of the ocean, apparently. And it reminded me of the genius of the South Park episode where BP Oil keeps drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and release Cthulhu.
And that's
what it's based on. So it's just like, so I had no idea. I had no idea that that was part of the whole thing, was that Cthulhu is in this city at the bottom of the ocean. And so BP, by drilling in the ocean, they release this horrible monster upon the planet. And the genius there and how hilarious that episode was. And
South Park does not come up with anything wholesale. They do a really good job of, sometimes their references are really heavy-handed, other times they're actually like pretty subtle. But I think South Park does a really excellent job of digging into culture when they're making social commentary. I think it's strong work they do.
Oh, it's great.
Have you seen the movie Team America?
Yes. Yes, which I enjoy the heck out of. Really enjoy Team America.
All of our listeners, if you've never seen Team America, watch Team America. Fantastic. I will not say any more than that. Okay, Chris, we're running out of time. So we're going to jump ahead to your last song, which is an Adele number, To Make You Feel My Love. Why that song?
So when I was actually on the verge of leaving Buffalo like 8 years ago, my plan at that point was to go back to New York, because I lived growing up on Long Island. I was planning on going back to New York City and pursuing an acting career, and that was my plan. And then I went to a friend's wedding. I was one of his groomsmen, and went to his wedding in Chicago and was set up with a bridesmaid. And her name was Christina.
Yep.
And we got along really, really well. And I was supposed to actually fly home the next day, but I had booked my flight really, really late. And so what Christina did, actually, she had driven in from Colombia, and she decided that she was going to drive back a little bit later so that she could drive me to the airport. And we spent the day in Chicago. We went to Shedd Aquarium and we got some pizza, and we had what ended up being like a first date kind of thing. And so one of the last songs that we listened to was Make You Feel My Love, which is actually an Adele cover. I think of a Garth Brooks song. And that was one of the last songs that we listened to together that day before she dropped me off at the airport and I flew home. And at that point, I found myself smitten, and I decided that New York could wait, I didn't want to do a distance relationship, but I wanted to give our relationship a chance. And so I decided, she was in Columbia, which is like 2 hours from St. Louis. It's like right in the middle of the state of Missouri. And I thought, I'll move closer so that we can try this out and see what happens. New York will always be there. And I ended up falling in love with St. Louis and with Christina, and we got married and we're still here. So so that song has a lot of meaning for me personally.
Aww.
But cycle crawling down the avenue. No, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love.
That was Make You Feel My Love, Adele covering that song. You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra. That's 90.7 FM. Today's guest is Christopher LaBanca talking about the songs and items he would take on a Catskill Cabin getaway. WGXC.